The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, looks like Aaron Rodgers might be ready to return to Green Bay.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Chalk up two more losses for your Bears.
And we got a quarterback now. We ain't having that. We ain't entertaining that. We ain't rolling over for Green Bay. They got their winner up there at Cheese Land.
Who's your quarterback?
Huh?
Are you starting the
Justin
rookie?
Justin Fields, baby.
Oh,
by
so
the time
you're putting
we get
a rookie
to week
in.
Four, week five.
Okay. So not Andy Dalton.
Andy really Dalton Andy for the Dalton. First couple of games, and then
we'll see. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Team USA loses to France. Texas and Oklahoma break the news to the Big 12, and Katie Ledecky comes in second. But let us start with Wilbon on the Aaron Rodgers beat.
Yeah, we finally have big, legitimate news concerning the Green Bay quarterback. Adam Schefter reports that the Packers are offering concessions, and the two sides are close to an agreement that would bring Rodgers back to the team for at least one more season. And if Rodgers is still upset after that, the agreement implies that the team would be open to working on trading him. Tony, do you think this works for Rodgers, and does it work for the Packers?
So, I mean, we both heard about this within the last hour and a half, something like that. I haven't had time to fully digest it. I would give credit to Aaron Rodgers in the way that he has been coy so far and tried to manipulate the Packers and probably got them to a couple of concessions that he likes. But as with all compromises, Mike, neither side is really truly happy. I mean, because Rodgers had no real leverage in this. He's got a signed contract with the Packers. And ultimately, Mike, his options, since he didn't declare he wanted to leave publicly, his options were to either sit out the year or retire, neither of which are any good. I actually think he gains in this because there's the real possibility that after this year he could leave.
Well, Tony, his leverage was his services. That's his leverage. And, you know, you can withhold them. You can, for a while, you can withdraw them.
Yeah.
And maybe he just wasn't there yet. I mean, Schefter reported, which was interesting, that, you know, only in the last 24 to 48 hours was there a feeling that Rodgers was actually going to report to camp. That before that, you know, his mind and his disposition were in a different place. And that was interesting to hear. Look, this is not a great marriage anymore. I mean, it wasn't a great marriage last year, but they still got very far within a shout of the Super Bowl. So they seem to be able to separate, compartmentalize their lives and go on. And maybe they'll do it again, Tony.
I'll go back to the leverage for a second. I know what you're saying, that his leverage is to withhold his services, but he didn't get any closer to free agency if he sat out the whole year. So ultimately,
right.
It didn't
right.
get him to where he wants to be. This strikes me as a pretty good compromise, because if I'm the Packers, Mike, I'm not going to trade him and have him come back and beat me. I'm going to make sure Jordan Love is ready before I get rid of this guy,
yeah.
And I don't know that Jordan Love is ready yet.
I don't know
Stay
that the Packers
football.
Are brave enough to find out either, because they've looked pretty gutless.
Deshaun Watson has reported to the Houston Texans training camp, obviously to avoid being fined. Watson reiterated his desire to play elsewhere, and the Texans have reportedly backed off their insistence on keeping him, and they're now fielding offers. Watson faces 22 lawsuits alleging sexual misconduct. Wilbon, could you see a team trading for Watson before these are resolved?
Yeah, I could, Tony, because I think the price has dropped. The asking price has dropped or will drop dramatically. And I don't think the Houston Texans are going to get the big haul that we associate with trading someone of his talent, so of Watson's talent. So, yeah, I think that, you know, whoever put this out there about these five, you know, picks, people, this combination, you're right. When you don't even know when the guy you would be trading for is going to be eligible to play, that's a reduction. You know, when you don't know how this entire episode is going to affect him emotionally and psychologically, that calls for another drop. When you don't know whether the community he would be traded to will even accept him without great drama, right? And perhaps penalty. That brings another drop. So I don't want to hear what the Houston Texans are asking for. Let's see what somebody's offering. But I do believe with that reduced asking price, people will be making offers.
So I'm with you on everything you said other than that about the offers. I think that there are 25 teams at least that would take Deshaun Watson, all things being equal, even if they had to wait a while to get him. I think there's 25 coaches and GMs who would plot to do that. But here's the critical part. They then have to convince their owner to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's happening. I'm not sure that he's going to play this year. I'm not sure when he's going to play. I'll go to baseball for a second with Trevor Bauer and Ozuna on the Braves and on the Nats, Starlin Castro, all of whom have been accused of either sexual misconduct or domestic violence. Accused. And no, to my knowledge, there's no criminal charges yet. They're not playing. And none of those guys looks like he's going to play this year at all. The Washington Nationals have sort of moved away from thinking Castro will be back. In Watson's case, I don't know when.
Tony,
this would be resolved.
Baseball,
I don't know when he ever plays.
Baseball ain't football, and those guys aren't Deshaun Watson. And I think if you got 25 GMs and coaches, and I'm with you on that general count, there's at least a dozen owners. I'm sorry, let's not make the NFL owners, you know, people who are standing at the door to check every little detail of character, because they're not. If I wanted to characterize the owners, I would put the NFL owners last among the professional sports in North America. So I believe there are plenty of owners.
22 possible lawsuits.
I know, Tony.
It's more than enough to get somebody to say, hold on.
The league has to take the lead in that, and we've heard nothing from the league just yet.
Not yet, because there hasn't been any camp. Let's acknowledge a prediction that we both got wrong. That the United States men's basketball team would easily beat France. Ooh. They did not. France won 83-76, closing on a 16-2 run as Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard, among others, failed in the stretch. After the game, U.S. coach Greg Popovich lectured people that they shouldn't be surprised. Wilbon, is Popovich right that no one should be surprised?
Yeah, no one should be anymore, but people are going to continue to be surprised because we're pretty arrogant about basketball. If you list the things in America we are arrogant about, basketball is way at the top, toward the top of that list of many things. Because we still believe our talent is superior, even though there's evidence now that it's not. Not in the way it was in 1972 or 92 or even 02. It just isn't, Tony. And you and I had this discussion at length on your podcast this morning. And I know we feel slightly differently. Because I'm looking at this now. You look at the other countries and you look at it's not one or two NBA players, although the Czech Republic, who the U.S. has to beat, I think he only has one right now in Satoransky. But, Tony, there are players in every corner of the world, and they don't want to take pictures with Kevin Durant and Dame Lillard. They want to beat them. In 1992, they just wanted to pose with them. There's a massive difference in attitude. Not, I want to pose with you, I want to kick your butt.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who I guess you would characterize as arrogant because I think we should win that game. I don't think we should lose to Nigeria, and I don't think we should lose to Australia, and I don't think we should lose to France, especially Greg Popovich, I'll tell you in a second, especially when Greg Popovich said I had 2 years to prepare for this particular game. Because we got all NBA players. We got more of the better players. We got more of the better players than anybody else has. And I'm always surprised when we lose. And if Greg Popovich isn't surprised when we lose, I think he should be. And also, this little statistic is interesting. He has been the overseer in losses in 5 of the last 8 games that he's coached for the national team dating back to 2019. So maybe he ought to do something differently. The last 306 of that game, I'm sorry, the last 340 of that game.
14-0.
The United States team shot 0-for-9 and 0-for-6 from 3. That's terrible. I am surprised. I think we get in the medal round, but I am surprised. Yes.
Maybe if Greg Popovich is not surprised, maybe you ought to follow his lead and not be surprised. Because I'm going to follow Greg Popovich before I follow you.
Follow me, baby.
And you know a hell of a lot about basketball.
Follow me on Twitter.
I ain't following you on Twitter.
Follow me.
What's your handle on Twitter?
I think it's M. Wilbon or M.R. Wilbon.
Let's move to college football, where Texas and Oklahoma officially notified the Big 12 today. They intend to bolt the conference after 2025, reportedly for the SEC. Andy Staples of The Athletic suggests the Big 10, my conference, should look to add teams as well, proposing that the conference, the Big Ten, try to swipe the sexy half of the Pac-12, consisting of USC, UCLA, Cal, Stanford, Washington, and Oregon. I'm sorry, Oregon and not Arizona or Arizona State, please. Tony, could you see this happening?
This is your conference, so I will probably end up yielding to you. But I would say this. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten have one great thing in common, the history of the Rose Bowl. They've been partners for a long time with the Rose Bowl. And the Pac-12 would be better suited going to the Big Ten than to go to the Big 12, where they have absolutely nothing in common with West Virginia and Iowa State and Kansas and Oklahoma State. And what those sexy teams have in common, and that would be USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal, Oregon, and Washington, is they are good academic schools. And the Big Ten talks about its academic schools. That is a perfect blend together to me. And the other teams in the Pac-12 can go to the Big 12 and form a second-rate conference with my blessing.
Well, this is what you're missing, because New Yorkers would always miss this. Eastern people in general would miss this. The entire Midwest migrates at some point, usually closer to 60 or 70 years old, to Arizona and the
Everybody
West.
Everybody does.
You wouldn't
Everybody.
Know, so you can take my word for this, because I actually do know. And so there's a natural tie-in there. As the Arizona Republic once wrote, Scottsdale is the westernmost suburb of Chicago. So we actually do know something that you don't know about that. But the bigger point here is, yes, there's connections and more than one of them with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. And the Big Ten is so much more progressive. And the eye of jealousy has always been out there because the Big Ten makes more money, because it was smarter about its television package and other things in the conference, and the SEC didn't really want to listen early on. So I agree with you there, but this story's got so long to play out, Tony. We don't know where it's going to wind up. We really don't.
Let me go to another thing that the Big Ten would do. They would then gain television markets in Los Angeles and San Francisco. They have all the great television markets in the Midwest, and they also have the New York market in the East and the Washington, D.C. market. It would raise their profile. The next big question is, what is the ACC going to do? Are they going to stand
alone? Partner with the SEC.
And beyond the ACC, what's going to happen with Notre Dame? I think Notre Dame would go to the Big Ten and the Pac-12 if they merge.
Jay Billis already gave us a suggestion. He said they're going to co-conference SEC and ACC.
Our thoughts. Coming up, our thoughts on Katie Ledecky falling short of the gold medal in the 400 free.
And should Bradley Beal stick with his commitment to the Wizard or open his mind to the Dubs?
Just tremendous how you put Arizona in every conversation as if it's Paris.
It's and it's interesting how you don't today. Know that Arizona's got a bigger, Phoenix is a bigger population than San Francisco. But no, in San Francisco, you wouldn't know.
Chicago's not the only place. Know.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Mail time. Will you saddle us with your issues? Let me see what's first here.
Mail time.
Here we go. Should Bradley Beal stick with his commitment to the Wizards?
Well, it depends what the Wizards promise to do and then actually do in the upcoming, you know, free agent market and offseason. The draft is this week. So there's a lot of – if Bradley Beal looks around and they're bringing in a couple of players, even if they are in exchange for Russell Westbrook – then, okay, Bradley Beal, he clearly loves being here. He loves the team. He loves greater D.C., you know, the DMV. I mean, he likes being around. He's the signature player of this team. So I think that's entirely based on what the Wizards are going to do to try and keep him happy and moving up in the standings.
Here's what I think about commitments. I think they're not worth the paper that Kyrie Irving's commitment to the Celtics was printed on. I think Bradley Beal should do whatever he thinks is best for Bradley Beal. He scored an awful lot of points for a lot of years on a team that's basically sub 500, even with Russell Westbrook, you know, and all the triple-doubles Russell Westbrook had. I don't really understand the Golden State intrigue with him because they've got Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, and Beal is not either of those players. But if he wants to go there and the Wizards get back Wiseman and Wiggins and maybe a draft pick, let's see what Russell Westbrook can do with them. Yeah, let's see if that here. Makes the Wizards better.
Yeah.
Because the Wizards of Beal and Westbrook have a pretty obvious ceiling to me.
Yeah, so, I can see why Beal would want to go to the Warriors. You put Beal, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry out there. Let's go. Who's going to guard them?
No, I know, but I don't know why they want him all that much. Here we go. What does it say to you that Katie Ledecky got beat in the 400 free?
It was a shock to watch. I mean, I watched it, and I sat there stunned. Look, I saw in person Usain Bolt lose in 17 at the World Track and Field Championships, and I didn't leave my seat for like a half hour. It's so stunning. And to see somebody just cap to cap with Ledecky like that. Ledecky, we live in the community where Ledecky does, you and I, of course, Tony. And we know her and her family, and we have watched her come out of Stone Ridge High School and go all the way to dominate the world. And to not be able to win that race, and she swam her fourth fastest time. I mean, or that was the fourth fastest, her second fastest. It's just stunning. It's athletics, the Olympics at its best.
This is the cycle of life in sports. Somebody is a champion, and somebody younger sets his or her sights on the person who's a champion and runs that person down. And in a great race, runs Katie Ledecky down. There is no dishonor in Katie Ledecky losing. And the Australian swimmer Titmus, let's be honest about this. She didn't come out of nowhere.
No, we've
She's been here for a couple of years posting better times than Katie Ledecky and going after her very, very specifically. We've seen Michael Phelps lose in individual races. I mean, this is what happens in sports. Eventually, someone gets you.
Is someone going to get Miss Biles in this Olympics? Because
that's certainly possible.
I don't know what I saw because I don't necessarily trust the sport in terms of its subjectivity nor the reporting, though some of them are among my best friends. I don't know what I'm seeing. When you watched last night, what did you think? Simone Biles,
Mike,
in that jeopardy.
Every single person loses eventually, except Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, who throws the ball into the jugs gun and the jugs gun explodes. Tom Brady is the exception. Enough of your issues, people. Let's take one last break, but still to come. Could the latest move by the Padres vault them to the top of the NL West?
And Chandler Jones reportedly wants out of Arizona, like Tony. Tony, he'll be Tony's favorite athlete. Should the Cardinals comply with his wishes?
I love Arizona. I just don't think it's Paris like you do. I don't think everybody in the Midwest goes there like you do.
I love New York.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey.
Happy time, people. Happy 46th birthday tomorrow, Alex Rodriguez. He's now an owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but his fame derives from baseball. A-Rod is unlikely to ever get into the Hall of Fame because he persistently used performance-enhancing drugs. But what performances he gave. A-Rod was MVP three times, once for Texas, twice for the Yankees. He was an All-Star 14 times, a Silver Slugger 10 times. He's fourth all-time in home runs with 696, fourth all-time in RBI with 2,086. A-Rod was so great that in 2000, the 10-year, $252 million contract he signed was the richest in baseball. Then he opted out and signed an even bigger one, 10 years, $275 million.
All right, you were so thorough just now in your examination of A-Rod as a player. Let me ask you this. I love watching Alex Rodriguez on television and listening to him and how he takes apart a game and delivers it to you. What do you think?
I think that you're his very good friend, and I admire both of you for that. Happy anniversary, Matt Harvey.
Not answering questions today, Tony Kornheiser.
The Dark Knight of Gotham struck out 11 Diamondbacks in 5 1/3 innings, did not give up an earned run, and went 2 for 2 at the plate, picking up a win his Major League debut. That was when Harvey was with the Mets, and he quickly became the toast of New York. By 2014, Harvey needed Tommy John surgery and endured an endless string of injuries as he bounced around. Now Harvey's in Baltimore, where he went 12 straight starts without a win. But he got one Saturday night when he threw 6 scoreless innings against the Nats to get his record to 5-10 and renew the talk of what might have been.
Yeah, what might have been. I mean, that Mets pitching staff, they got it done once in 2015. But, I mean, Syndergaard and Harvey, it didn't work. I would ask you a question, but you're not going to answer it anyway, so I won't bother.
Yeah, ask me if DeGrom's the best pitcher in baseball. No. Yes. Happy trails, Adam Frazier. The all-star second baseman who leads baseball in hits this season was traded from Pittsburgh to San Diego as the Padres try to catch the Giants and Dodgers. Frazier was hitting .327, second best in baseball, and won a Gold Glove in 2020. Now, the Padres already have an all-star second baseman in Jake Cronenworth, but both he and Frazier can play multiple positions, including outfield. The Padres did this for offense, though. They score 4.76 runs per game, the Dodgers score 5.20, and the Giants score 4.89. The Pirates got prospects, which is what last place teams always get.
Tony, I'm also going to wish happy trails to a 46-year-old gymnast, Oksana Chusetovina. I hope I got that right. I probably didn't. Vitna participated in every Olympics going back to 1992 and from multiple countries. I mean, that's amazing. She got an ovation last night. No fans, but from her peers and coaches and all the people there in the arena. It's pretty moving, actually.
One omission. The Pelicans sent Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and picks to the Grizzlies for Jonas Valanciunas and picks. It's a hefty price.
That's just going to bring somebody else in.
All-pro pass rusher Chandler Jones reportedly requested a trade from the Cardinals this offseason. Your thoughts?
He played in 5 games last year. You would think he'd like to play alongside J.J. Watt and have a great front line this year. I don't know what he wants. He wants more money somewhere else. Bengals owner Mike Brown says he's unlikely to risk Joe Burrow in the preseason. Does that make sense?
Number one overall pick and got hurt last year. Absolutely. Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm out of the Olympics after testing positive for COVID. Your thoughts?
Rahm twice in a month. Wow. The Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Is that significant?
Only in that corridor between Boston and New York. The Yankees are not contenders. Last one, U.S. men's soccer beat Jamaica to make the Gold Cup semifinals. Are you impressed by that?
Not particularly. They barely won, scoring in the 83rd minute. Have Cutter on Thursday.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.